Parshas Vayeshev. Yaakov and his family now lived in the town of Hebron. Even though Yaakov owned so many sheep, cattle, goats, and so on, and he needed a city that has a lot of fields with a lot of grass, yet Yaakov chose the town of Hebron because of a different reason. Hebron was the town where his father Yitzchak spent so many years teaching people about Hashem. Yaakov wished to continue Avraham and Yitzchak's life work, teaching people the truth and bringing them closer to Hashem. Therefore, Yaakov settled in Hebron, where he hoped to be successful in teaching people to serve Hashem. Yaakov wanted to spend the rest of his life peacefully, but Hashem did not consider it good for a tzaddik to expect to live a peaceful life in this world. Hashem says to the tzaddik, "Are you not satisfied with the reward that's waiting for you in the world to come, in Olam Haba, that you wish to have a peaceful life here too?" It was for this reason that Hashem brought to Yaakov the very unhappy thing that happened with Yosef, that Yosef was sold as a slave, as we shall soon see. But Kindelach, I want you to know that when a tzaddik asks something from Hashem, Hashem definitely gives it to him. And Hashem did give Yaakov many years of a peaceful life. That is, first of all, the many years that Yaakov lived with Yosef before Yosef was sold as a slave. They were very happy and peaceful years. And then later, at the end of Yaakov's life, the last 17 years were the best years of his life, when Yaakov lived with his whole family together in the land of Mitzrayim, where he saw his children and grandchildren learning Torah and following his ways, the ways of Hashem. Now, Kindelach, even though Yaakov loved all of his 12 sons, but he favored Yosef over all his 12 sons. Yosef was the son of Rachel, Yaakov's main wife, for whom Yaakov agreed to serve Laban for 7 years. Furthermore, Yosef was a special son. Yosef had all the special qualities of all the other brothers. Yosef had the greatness to do the Avodah, to work in the Beis HaMikdash, just like the Bechor Reuven. Yosef was able to be a leader, just like Yehuda. He was fit to have Ruach HaKodesh, just like Levi. And he knew so much Torah, just like Yisachar. In Yosef, Yaakov saw a continuation of himself. Not only did Yosef look so much like his father Yaakov, but even their life histories were very much the same. Our Chachamim tell us of 12 things that were by Yaakov, and the same things were by Yosef. Yaakov was born with a ready bris. So was Yosef also born with a bris. Yaakov's mother, Rivka, had to wait many years before her first child was born. So was Yosef's mother, Rachel. She had to wait many years before Yosef was born. Yes, both Rivka and Rachel both gave birth to their children by a miracle. Yaakov's brother Esav hated him, so did Yosef's brothers hate him. Yaakov's brother Esav wanted to kill Yaakov, so did Yosef's brothers try and wanted to kill him too. Yaakov became very, very rich, So did Yosef become very, very rich. That was later when Yosef came to Mitzrayim and became the ruler. Yaakov got married only after leaving Eretz Yisrael when he was in Haran and had his children in Haran. The same thing was with Yosef. Yosef got married out of Eretz Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and that's where he had his children. Yes, Kindalach, this shows us how great Yaakov and Yosef was. The Shekhinah, Hashem's protection, was always with them. Even though the Shekhinah rests mainly in Eretz Yisrael, but Yaakov and Yosef were so great that Hashem was with them even outside of Eretz Yisrael, giving them their children there, from whom the Yiddish people came. Yaakov and Yosef also had malachim wherever they went. As you remember, when Yaakov came to Eretz Yisrael from Haran, there were two camps of malachim that met Yaakov on the way. Also, Yosef met three malachim on his way to Shechem when he was searching for his brothers, as we shall soon see in the Parsha. Yaakov had a special bracha from Hashem in a dream. That was when he saw the ladder and Hashem benched him that he would become great. Yosef also became great through a dream. Yes, by explaining to Parai his dream. As we'll see in Parshas Miketz, how Yosef explained Parai the meaning of his dream. And then Parai appointed him as the ruler of Mitzrayim. Another thing we find by Yaakov and by Yosef, Yaakov's father-in-law, Lavan, had a special bracha from Hashem as long as Yaakov was with him. Yosef's father-in-law, Potiphar, was also benched from Hashem when Yosef came into his house. Yaakov traveled to Mitzrayim, so did Yosef travel to Mitzrayim. And at the end of their lives, both Yaakov and Yosef, before they passed away, Yaakov made his sons swear to take his body out of Mitzrayim and bring him to Eretz Yisrael. Yosef made his brother swear to do the same, to take his body out of Mitzrayim after he passes away and bring him to Eretz Yisrael to be buried. And finally, both Yaakov passed away in Mitzrayim, so did Yosef pass away in Mitzrayim. Yes, Kindalach, here we see the many things that Yosef had, just like his father Yaakov. No wonder Yaakov loved Yosef so much, because he saw in Yosef so many things that he had by himself. Our Chachamim tell us that Yaakov also loved Yosef because he saw with Ruach HaKodesh that Yosef is going to become a very great man, a ruler. And above all, Yaakov loved Yosef for all the Torah that Yosef knew. Even though Yaakov taught Torah to all of his 12 sons and worked very hard to bring them all up as tzaddikim, but to Yosef, Yaakov taught more Torah than to all the others. Yes, Yaakov told Yosef the secrets of the Torah, which he told no one else. Besides telling Yosef of all the dinim and the halachos, which he had studied in the yeshiva of Shem and Aver. Yosef then repeated to his brothers all the halachos, which he had learned from their father. But the Torah secrets Yosef kept to himself. To show the difference between Yosef and all the other children, Yaakov made for Yosef a special long-sleeved garment of delicate silk. The long sleeves were to show to the brothers that Yosef did not have to do the hard work like the other brothers. The name of this special garment was called Kisoines Pasim, a garment which is called pasim, which means a beautiful garment. Our Chachamim tell us that the word pasim, which spells Pei, Samach, Yud, Mem, stands for the four people to whom Yosef was sold as a slave, as we'll see later in the parsha. Pei stands for Potiphar, Samach stands for Socharim, Yud stands for Yishmaelim, and Mem stands for Midyanim. Those were the four groups of people to whom Yosef was sold as a slave. First to one group, then to the other, and then to the third, and finally to the fourth, to Potiphar, as we shall soon see in Yirtzeh Hashem. Now, Kindalach, even when Yosef was very, very young, the Ruach HaKodesh rested upon him. He was a tzaddik, always thinking of Hashem. When Yosef saw that his brothers did certain things which Yosef thought were sins, he went and told his tati. Yosef said to his father, "Tati, I saw my brothers eating flesh torn from a living animal that was not even shechted." The truth was, Kindalach, that the brothers kept all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and they would never eat flesh of an animal that was not shechted. So how did Yosef see such a thing? It was surely true that Yosef saw them eating flesh from such an animal. Well, our Chachamim explain it like this. There are certain times when an animal does not have to be shechted to be kosher. When is this? Well, this is, for example, if a cow was shechted in the proper way, and then when they opened up the stomach of the cow, they found a little baby calf, a little baby cow inside. Well, that baby cow, even if it's still alive, they can take that cow out and eat it without shechting it. They can just cut off the flesh and eat from it without shechting it. Why? Because it is as if it was shechted, since this baby cow was in its mother's stomach while the mother was shechted. So we see, Kindalach, that there are certain times when an animal does not have to be shechted. But Kindalach, instead of Yosef asking them, Yosef went straight to his father to tell Lashon Hara what he saw about the brothers. As a punishment, Yosef got mida keneged mida, a measure for a measure. Since he said Lashon Hara about his brothers, that they did not shecht the animal that they ate, Hashem said, "You will see, Yosef, that even when they show the blood of a goat to your father and say that it's your blood, as we're going to see later in the parsha, they will first shecht that animal, the goat, even though they did not even plan to eat it." Another thing that Yosef told his father, "I heard them call the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah slaves." Well, Kindalach, it is true that the brothers used to call Bilhah's and Zilpah's children the sons of maids, since their mothers, Bilhah and Zilpah, used to be slaves before they got married to Yaakov. The brothers did not mean to say that now they are slaves. They knew very well that before Yaakov married Bilhah and Zilpah, Yaakov freed Bilhah and Zilpah from being his maids. So, of course, their children are not slaves. Hashem said, "Yosef, you suspected your brothers that they did something wrong by calling Bilhah and Zilpah's children slaves. You yourself will be sold as a slave." Then there was another thing, Kindalach, that Yosef told his father. "I saw them doing business with the women of Canaan.
Yes, Kindalach. The brothers used to do business with Canaanim, and sometimes there were Canaanim girls. The brothers didn't think there was anything wrong with it, but Yosef thought it wasn't right. Hashem said, Yosef, if you think you're a greater tzaddik than your brothers, then I'll test you. As we're going to see later in the parsha, Hashem tested Yosef in the story of Potiphar's wife trying to get Yosef to do a sin, as we'll see later. Well, Kindalach, because of all this Lashon Hara that Yosef repeated to his father before even speaking to the brothers and finding out the truth and finding out why they did these things, and then Yosef would have realized that they really weren't doing any sins. Instead, Yosef went straight to his father and spoke Lashon Hara, and therefore Yosef was punished Mida Keneged Mida, a measure for a measure, by Hashem for all of these things. The brothers hated Yosef. They didn't even speak to Yosef. Even when Yosef would say to them a friendly, good morning, the answer was silence. They did not say a word. Yes, since they were tzaddikim, they were not able to fake their brother Yosef in making believe that they're his friend and answering back, good morning, or other words, since they felt the hatred in their hearts. And Kindalach, soon the brother's peace of mind was disturbed again by a new happening. Yosef had a dream. He wished to tell it to his brothers, but they didn't even want to pay attention to him.
Please listen to my dream, he begged them. I must tell it to you.
Yosef thought that if they only would listen to his dream, and they would see what his dream is all about, they would realize that all of his greatness that he's going to have is not something that they should be hating him for. Yosef said to them,
in my dream, I saw all 12 of us binding bundles of wheat in the field. The bundles which you gathered got rotten and spoiled, and mine remained fresh. Your bundles surrounded mine and bowed down to my bundle.
Yes, Kindalach, this dream was a Ruach HaKodesh, that there's going to be a time when there's going to be plenty of wheat, plenty of food. And Yosef, who would then be the ruler in Mitzrayim, would collect all the food and put it away for the years that are going to come later, the years of hunger. And whatever Yosef would put away would stay fresh. And the brothers would then come from Eretz Canaan to Mitzrayim to get food from Yosef, and they'll bow down to Yosef. That's what the dream meant. And that's why Yosef told it to them, saying, I can't deny the fact that I'm going to become a great person, but you don't have to be angry with me, you don't have to hate me, because my greatness will only be with one thing, that I will have better wheat than you. Is it worth hating me just for that? But Kindalach, the brothers didn't even want to hear the explanation of the dream the way Yosef says it. The brothers just said, do you think you're going to be a ruler over us? Yes, Kindalach. The truth was that this dream also means that Yosef will become a ruler over the whole Mitzrayim. But, Kindalach, and now that the brothers laughed from it and did not want to explain the dream in a good way, they caused that Yosef would have to wait 22 years until this dream would become true. Yes, it was 22 years later that Yosef finally became the ruler in Mitzrayim. Achachamim tell us that when you ever hear a dream from anyone, even of your own, no matter how the dream appears to you, you should always say it is a good dream and a very good sign, because the fulfillment of every dream depends upon the way it's explained. Then Kindalach, Yosef had another dream, and told it first to his brothers, and then to his father, Yaakov, in front of his brothers. What was the second dream?
I dreamt that the sun, moon, and 11 stars bowed down before me.
When Yaakov heard this, Yaakov took a feather, an ink, and a piece of paper, and marked down the date, hour, and place of the dream, waiting for it to happen. Yes, Yaakov understood the meaning of this dream, and he knew that this dream really means that Yosef is going to become a ruler. But Yaakov did not want to show the brothers that he was happy with Yosef's dream. Instead, he showed Yosef that he's very unhappy that Yosef says over his dreams. Yaakov said to Yosef, "How is it possible that the sun and moon, that means your tati and your mommy, will bow down to you, since your mother Rachel is no longer alive?" Yaakov did not realize that the moon in the dream means Bilhah, who took care of Yosef like a mother. Now, even though Yaakov showed Yosef how unhappy he was that Yosef is telling over the dreams, the brothers still were very jealous, because they were afraid that his dream was really going to come true. Their hatred grew even deeper. Yosef's brothers went to take care of the sheep in Shechem, where Yaakov owned some fields. Yaakov had not heard anything from his sons for several days. Yaakov was worried about it, since Shechem was the city whose people Shimon and Levi had killed out when Dinah was kidnapped. Yaakov was afraid that maybe the people of Shechem are now fighting back against Shimon and Levi. So Yaakov said to Yosef, "Yosef, I did not hear from your brothers for a few days. I would like you to go and find out how they're doing, and find out how are the sheep."
"I am ready, Tati."
"Yes, Kindalach. Even though Yosef knew that the brothers hated him, but he was ready to go. After Yosef was sold as a slave, whenever Yaakov remembered Yosef's words that Yosef said, 'I am ready,' Yaakov felt a sharp pain run through his body. Yaakov thought, 'Yosef, you knew that your brothers hated you, and you still answered, "I am ready," in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kibud av." Kindalach, knowing as he did that the brothers hated Yosef so much, how could Yaakov have sent Yosef to them by himself? Well, Kindalach, Hashem gave Yaakov this idea in his heart because it was Hashem's plan that Yosef should be sent to Mitzrayim, and later Yaakov's family will come there and be in Galus Mitzrayim, and later come out of Galus to get the Torah and come to Eretz Yisrael. Yes, if not for Yosef coming to Mitzrayim, Yaakov would never have left Eretz Yisrael to live there. And that's why Hashem made that Yosef should now be brought to Mitzrayim in order to bring Yaakov and his family there too. When Yosef left his father to go look for the brothers, Yaakov first accompanied Yosef, walked along with him as far as Chevron.
"Go back, Tati. go back. You don't have to come with me all this way.
Listen, my son. In the future times, Hashem will give the Yidden the Torah, which has the parsha of Egla Arufa, that is, the calf whose neck is broken. It is in this parsha that the Torah tells us that if it ever happens that they find a murdered body of a person on the roadside and no one knows who killed this person, the Beis Din, the Yiddish court of the nearest town, must get together and break the neck of a calf as a kapara, a forgiveness for the killing. The judges of that Beis Din announce, Yodeinu leishafchu es adam hazeh, our hands have not spilled this blood. Which means, Kindelach, not only that they didn't kill him, but that they also didn't do anything to cause this man to be killed. That is, we did not dismiss this man without food, drink, or accompanying him. Yes, the Torah teaches us that one who does not accompany a guest is just like he is causing his blood to be spilled with his own hands. And that's why, Yosef, I'm going out of my way to accompany you, even though I am old. Yaakov then returned home, and Yosef continued his journey to Shechem. But, Kindelach, he did not find his brothers there. Hashem then sent three malachim to help Yosef. One malach was to save him from death when his brothers wanted to kill him. Another malach was to guard him and protect him in the pit when his brothers threw him there. And a third malach was to accompany Yosef to Mitzrayim. One of the malachim, Gavriel, appeared to Yosef dressed up like a man and asked Yosef,
Who are you looking for?
I'm looking for my brothers. Could you please tell me where they are, taking care of their sheep?
Oh, they have traveled away from here.
The malach was hinting to Yosef that Yosef should understand that the brothers hate him and are no longer going to act as a brother to him. That's what he means. They have traveled away from here, meaning from you. But Yosef did not understand the meaning behind the words. The malach continued to speak and said,
I have heard them say, let us go to Dothan.
Well, Kindelach, Dothan is not just the name of a place. Dothan also is from the word Nichle Dosais, which means plots. The malach was trying to hint to Yosef again that they're plotting and planning against Yosef. But again, Yosef did not understand the message of the malach's words. So Yosef traveled on to Dothan to find his brothers. From afar, the brothers saw Yosef coming. Even before Yosef came, the brothers were planning to kill Yosef. Levi said to Shimon,
Hey, the dreamer is coming.
One of them suggested, Let us shoot arrows at Yosef, since one who speaks Lashon Hara is compared to someone who shoots arrows. Another brother said,
His tongue is poisonous just like a snake. Let us therefore throw him to the snakes.
They also thought of throwing him to the dogs, because one who speaks Lashon Hara deserves to be thrown to the dogs. Finally they decided, Let us kill him and throw his dead body into one of the pits, and we'll say to Tati that a wild beast has eaten him up, and we shall then see what will become of his dreams. Yes, Kindelach, the brothers said, We shall see what becomes of his dreams. Hashem answered, Yes, we shall see who has the final word. I, or you. Yes, Kindalach, it was Hashem's plan that Yosef shall become a ruler. Now, Kindalach, when Reuven heard what the brothers had planned, Reuven thought, I am the oldest. If they're ever going to feel sorry for what they want to do right now, they'll blame it on me, since I am the oldest. Reuven thought, I must do something rather than leaving this into Shimon and Levi's hands. When Shimon and Levi get together, they are dangerous. They are fearful. When they joined to fight against Shechem, they killed out the entire town, men, women, and children. If they were able to destroy an entire city, how will they act towards a young boy who falls into their hands? It would be better for Yosef to be thrown into a pit full of snakes and scorpions, from which he might be saved by a miracle, than fall into the hands of Shimon and Levi. So Reuven told his brothers, We all have decided that Yosef has to be put to death. But there is one problem here. According to the law in the Torah, if someone is brought to court, and all the Yiddish judges, every single one of them, says that this man has to be put to death, this man goes free. Yes, that's what the Torah says. If all the judges say that he is guilty and he should be put to death, then he goes free. And since all of us are saying the same thing, that Yosef should be put to death, then Yosef should be set free. Reuven was trying to explain them. Haronga would be for them to kill Yosef. You will surely be punished for such a big sin as killing Yosef. Don't spill his blood. Instead, throw him into one of the pits in the Midbar, in the wilderness. Reuven had a mind that later he's going to save Yosef from their hands and bring him back to his father. The brothers agreed to Reuven's plan and decided to throw Yosef into a pit. Now during all this time, Yosef was listening in to the conversation of the brothers, what they were saying to each other. And Yosef was frightened. He threw himself down before each one's feet and begged them to have rachmanis. But they did not change their mind. They took off Yosef's shirt and his special long-sleeved garment, the ksenas pasim. Then Shimon threw Yosef into the pit. Shimon commanded that the brothers throw stones into the pit in order to kill Yosef. Now that pit was full of snakes and scorpions, and Yosef screamed in fright. Hashem caused all of the snakes and scorpions to move back into the little holes and openings that were in the walls of the pit, and they did not harm Yosef. While Yosef was in the pit, he wanted to review the words of Torah which he had learned from his father, but he was in such a shock and so frightened that he could not remember them. Yosef cried bitterly. The brothers, meanwhile, sat down to a meal. That is, all the brothers except Reuven. Reuven never took part in the meals with his brothers. As we have learned in Parshas Vayishlach, Reuven was always fasting and davening and doing teshuva for committing the sin of moving his father's bed without permission. The brothers were sitting and eating. They raised their eyes and they noticed that in the distance was a caravan, a long trail of traveling people. They were Yishma'elim, whose camels were laden with spices. This was unusual, Kindalach. Yishma'elim used to carry kerosene, that is, a certain liquid which gives off a very bad smell. But these Yishma'elim were carrying very good-smelling spices. Because since Yosef is going to end up on their wagon, as we'll soon see, Hashem wanted to save the tzaddik Yosef
should not have to smell the bad smell of kerosene. Instead, he should smell the good-smelling spices. Now, when they saw the Yishmaelim coming, Yehuda said to his brothers, "What will we gain by killing Yosef? We're going to have to keep it a secret, and no one will be able to see or learn the lesson from the punishment given to Yosef. But by selling him, we'll be able to get rid of him without killing him. So let's sell him to these Yishmaelim." Now the brothers honored Yehuda as the king among them, and they respected his words. The brothers said, "Canaan, the grandson of Noach, who sinned, was punished with the curse to become a slave. Let us sell Yosef as a slave, too." While they were still talking about selling Yosef as a slave to the Yishmaelim, a different caravan of Midianim men came close. They were looking for water and began looking into the pits. When they passed the pit in which Yosef was thrown, they heard cries deep down in the pit. They bent down to look, and there was a young man crying. They pulled him out and made him get up on one of their camels to travel with them. But when they got close to Yaakov's sons, the brothers noticed Yosef among them and shouted, "Give us back our slave!" The Midianim answered, "Who said that he is your slave? He's better looking than all of you. For all we know, you might be his slaves." "No, no, he belongs to us. We threw him into the pit because he's going against us. You'd better return him immediately back if you don't want us to take action against you." The Midianim ignored what the brothers were saying and just continued traveling further. Then the brothers drew their swords. Shimon jumped up, swung his sword, and began to shout so loud that the earth trembled, "My brother and I destroyed the entire city of Shechem and the cities of Emaidim. Even if you bring all your relatives, the Midianim and all the Canaanim kings, we will kill them all. Give this young man back." The Midianim got frightened and fell on their faces. Then they said to the brothers, "But didn't you say that he is a slave who's not listening to you? So what do you need him for? Sell him to us." "Well, how much do you want to pay?" asked the brothers.
"Only 20 silver pieces. He looks so pale and worn."
Yosef saw that the brothers agreed to the price. Yosef fell down in front of his brothers, begging them to take him back.
"Why do you do this to me? I'm innocent."
But the brothers did not listen to his cries. With the money that they got from selling Yosef, they bought themselves shoes. Now, Kindalach, as soon as Yosef was sold, the hatred against him disappeared from the hearts of the brothers. The brothers decided, "Let the 10 of us make a promise. Let us swear that our father Yaakov shall never hear that we sold Yosef." The brothers were afraid that if Yaakov knew the truth, he would curse them with a curse forever. And if they were wiped out, there would never be a nation to proclaim Hashem's truth in the world. "But Reuven, the 10th one, is not here," Yehuda pointed out.
"Then Hashem himself will be the 10th. He surely agrees with us."
At night, Reuven secretly returned to the pit in order to free Yosef. But the pit was empty, and Yosef was missing.
Reuven tore his garments in pain, calling out,
I had hoped to bring him back to my father, so my father will forgive me for my sin. Now, my father would think that I killed Yosef because I was jealous that my firstborn right, my bechara, was given over to Yosef.
In order to explain to Yaakov what happened to Yosef, the brothers shechted a goat and dipped Yosef's ksoinis pasim, his beautiful garment, into its blood. They chose a goat since its blood looks very much like the blood of a person. And with this, they will fool their father, saying that Yosef was killed by a wild animal, and here is his beautiful ksenis pasim, full of blood. The fact that Yaakov was fooled with the blood of a goat was also a punishment for Yaakov for fooling his father Yitzchak, when Yaakov dressed himself up with goat skins in order to get the brachas of Esav from Yitzchak. Now, who's going to bring the ksenis pasim to Tati? So they made a goydel. They drew lots. And it fell on Yehuda. Yehuda brought Yosef's bloody ksenis pasim to Yaakov and said, Tati, do you recognize this as your son's garment? Yaakov recognized it and called out,
Oi! This is my son's garment! A wild animal had killed him!
When Yaakov said the words, a wild animal, he meant Yehuda, since Yehuda is also called Yehuda the Lion. Yes, Yaakov suspected that Yehuda must have harmed Yosef, since Yehuda must have been jealous of him. Yaakov was heartbroken.
How could I have sent him to Shechem all by himself? Why didn't I send someone along to accompany him?
Yaakov thought that this must be a punishment to him, because since Yaakov made his father Yitzchak tremble when Esav came for the brachas after him, therefore Yaakov also has to suffer now. When his sons and daughters saw Yaakov's pain, they gathered around him to comfort him. But nothing helped. For the next 22 years, Yaakov continued to cry for his son. Yes, Kindalach, Yaakov was not able to forget about Yosef, since Yosef was still alive.